We've been talking about vision. Everybody say, got vision. We've been talking about vision. So we're going to talk about it a little deeper today. And this is what the Holy Spirit put in my heart for you. And I just feel, if you'll go with me today, I feel a preach in the house. All right. Yeah. That's what I felt all day. If you can't tell, I feel like preaching the tithe and offerings. I feel like preaching everything. All right. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. I want to talk to you today about internal and eternal blueprints. Internal and eternal blueprints. See, a lot of people live their life by things that they see in the natural. They see things, and when we see things, because we are human nature, when we see things, we're moved by what we see. Come on, wave your hand if you've ever been moved by what you see. Come on, be real with me. Be honest. Maybe you want to pick your feet up and raise them. A lot of people are moved and they live their lives solely upon what they see. But God wants us to live from here, not from out here. Are you hearing me? He wants us to look in here and not out there. Shikabasahaya. I'm going to get this in your spirit. God has put eternal and internal blueprints on the inside of you. Before you were even a glimmer in your dad's eye. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. Before the foundations of the earth, he spent time with you. He was intimately involved with you. And he spoke into you, and he put inside of you eternal and internal blueprints. Every day that you wake up, you're coming to the reality and to the realization of those blueprints. Some days you wake up and you have amnesia. Some days you wake up and you forget what he told you months and years ago. Some days you get the hell knocked out of you, going through a trial, going through a circumstance. Is anybody in this house? And your vision is blurred and you can't see and grasp or get a hold of that he put inside of you before he sent you to the earth. Sometimes we lose sight of the kingdom blueprints, the eternal blueprints that he put within us, and then we begin to labor in the flesh to try to build that he put in our spirit. But it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yes. Psalms 127, go there with me, please. Psalms 127, hold your place there, we'll be back. Psalms 127, I want to just put this in your spirit. Boy, we're going to preach today. I feel it in my spirit. Yes. Glory to God. Psalms 127. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Hold on a second. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. What are you saying, Apostle? What does this have to do with eternal blueprints? Everything. Everything. Except the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Notice he didn't say we didn't labor. He said, but you labor in vain. So you can't just expect God just to pop it out in the sky and for the vision or for your purpose or for what God said for Legacy Life just to appear. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. What constitutes him building the house and us just laboring in vain? What separates, what differentiates the two? I'm so glad you asked. When I move into the flesh and try to make happen on my own what God is building in the spirit, then I am laboring in vain. But when I labor according, when I labor according to the internal and eternal blueprint that He put on the inside of me, I am laboring with God. The Bible says we are laborers together with God. Oh, glory. How many of you know we got the best partner that we can have? Come on, He's laboring with us together. So I'm not laboring according to the flesh when I labor with Him according to the internal, eternal blueprints. Say internal and eternal blueprints. It was awesome. This past week, or a week or so ago, I went with my kids and we had to get our fingerprints. And when we were getting our fingerprints done for some records, some things that we were trying to apply for, these they put your fingers on this little scanner. And when they put your fingers on the scanner, they had to get it just right. And now they do it digitally. Now, digitally, your fingerprints go on the scanner. It goes into a system, and it's all over the world. Isn't that amazing? And they print it out on the card for you. So no more ink. Now it just is a sensor, and it picks up your fingerprints. Roll your finger over on it, everything. Picks it all up, the whole image. Once we did that, then we had Destiny and Zoe get their fingerprints for safety reasons so we could keep them on record. And we did their fingerprints, but with their fingerprints, they did it with the old system because it was just their thumbs and it wasn't going into some system around the world. After that, I found myself talking to my girls because my girls were asking me questions. Why? How many know that kids can do that really good? Why, Daddy? Why do they do this? What is this for? And I said, this is what I told my girls. I said, we got these so we could bring them home. So when one of you put your hands in the cookie jar, we can know which one of you it was. Zoe's eyes got real big. Destiny said, that ain't right, Daddy. I said, yep. I said, I'll know. And then Zoe, with all of the intelligence, I mean, she's just so smart and gifted. She said, Dad, but what if I had my hands on there and she had her hands on there? How would you know who did it then? I said, I would know. So, but I was just trying to humor them. So, you know, it wasn't all into the seriousness of the moment. But I got to thinking about it. I was telling them, you know, do you recognize that your fingerprints are not like anybody else's fingerprints? But even above and beyond that, your retina, your eye, when scanning your eye, and I've been writing about this in the book for ID Required, when they scan your eye for you to be able to get in different places, your eye has a different signature, brosipata, a different blueprint. I wish you'd hear me. On your eye than anybody else. And we could break it down a little bit further. Your natural DNA, the makeup of who you are, is different than anybody else. They can research your DNA and find that he's a daddy. He's a mama. And she could be all on the other side of the world, or he's all on the other side of the world and don't even know, but just test, just with a little swab. Got to be careful what you leave behind. CSI might just come on the scene. But what are you saying, Apostle? Just as these intricate details are in our lives, our retina, our fingerprints, our DNA is individual and different, so has He placed within us a spiritual DNA. So has he imprinted, just like there's an imprint on your eye like nobody else is in this room. He has imprinted on your spirit blueprints. Masa kabahaya. He has put something deep on the inside of you. And it might seem like you're going through some things right now that are dark, that are negative. You've been in the developing room of life. And that image is negative and you're not seeing it. But can I tell you, that dark room has been serving as something that's going to open up so he can show you forth as a beautiful picture in the earth. That image that's been in you, that internal blueprint, is about to be revealed. And what you lay out on that table, you begin to build according to it. You begin to build according to the vision, according to what you see. And then it begins to appear for your life. You cannot just build aimlessly. You can't fight aimlessly. You can't aim, listen, like he said last week, just at the air. You got to have a target. Many of us, we have several targets. But we're not focused. So we got to bring ourselves in and we got to find what he put on the inside of us. I'm talking about honing in now. We went this past week, the men of the church, those of us that could gather together, we gathered together and we went to shoot straight. And we went in that room. My dad had some rifles. We had some handguns. And I know that some people might think that that's just crazy. Why would you do that? But when I was sitting there watching different ones aim and shoot, I could see prophetically what God was doing from the message the week before. The week before, he was saying, how's your aim? And I watched as the elders and the different leaders and different people from our church got up there and began to shoot the gun, began to aim the rifle. And I can remember some of them were shooting, and I was behind them over their shoulder, and I said, a little to the left, a little to the right. Or they would say it to me, you're on just a little to the left, a little to the right. And then getting it adjusted and then shooting, I could see that bullseye. And some of you've been shooting towards the right direction, but you've just been a little off. But when you begin to see those internal and eternal blueprints, and you begin to listen to the voice of the Lord, you begin to hear His Spirit speaking. You've been a little to the left. Adjust it, just tweak it just a little bit over. Just a click, just move it just a little bit over. All right, now take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Shoot. You're going to hit the target. Some of you have been doing the right thing, but getting the wrong results. Come on, talk to me. God, why is it? I know I'm doing the right thing, but I'm getting the wrong results. God's going to begin to adjust you with His hand, the hand of the fivefold ministries. He's going to begin to put that hand down there on that scope of your life. And He's going to begin to make things come into focus. He's going to begin to turn that dial, and you're going to begin to see from that eternal internal blueprint and through that scope of the prophetic and the apostolic alignment, you're going to begin to be able to hit the target. Somebody lift your hands and receive it right now. God is doing this in our lives. God's doing this in this house. You remember the prophetic word that was given over us recently? When I was out of town, I came back and I played the prophetic word on CD for you. The Lord said there was an extreme makeover. Everybody say extreme makeover. Come on, shout extreme makeover. Now, some of you like that show, don't you? Extreme makeover. I love watching that show. That is so inspiring when a family is not able to get what they need or able to do what they can do. Or they've went through a tragedy. The most recent one I watched was this family from South Florida. And the family from South Florida, they had an airplane crash into their house. And they didn't have insurance. Something happened when they refinanced their house that there was a loophole and the insurance was not properly placed on the house. So they had nothing to take care of all the contents or the house. And the house sat in the rubble of the fire from all the gasoline, the jet fuel. It ruined the house. And the lady was in the house when it happened and watched the plane come to the house. Fortunately, her kids were not there on that side of the house, and her family wasn't there. It was just her. But it was just a traumatic event. But they were living with family, and I watched as Extreme Makeover brought that bus in. Boy, I love watching that. That Extreme Makeover brought that bus in and picked them up on that bus and sent them off on a vacation, so some island to dive and to have fun, and brought in a whole team and demolished that house. and begin to rebuild that house. And I can see God doing that with some of your lives in this house. Some of your lives in the natural have been like something just wrecked into it, and you've not been able to really live in the place that God has for you. And you feel like it, like when you come to this house, things have just been getting wrecked down and tore down off your life. Can I tell you, we've been cleaning the aftermath. We've been cleaning the stuff off of you that has been holding you back. We've been taking off all that debris and all that's been damaged by the fire of hell. And now God's about to start building according to the blueprints and the purpose of your life. He's going to begin to make over. He's going to make over your life. There's people in this room. I'm amazed at the talent that we have in this room. I'm amazed at the gifts of God. And sometimes I ask God, you've put all of these people with me. God, you've entrusted me with these people. God, what are you doing? I ask God this. I ask Him because I look and I see somebody like Yvette. I see that Yvette, she could have been right now today where Britney Spears is at. She was the one slated to sing with the Backstreet Boys. Is that right? She was slated to sing on that tour with them, but she backed out of it because of the call of God on her life. And she said, I'm not going to sell myself to the highest bidder. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I see the gift in her sitting in this house. And I look across this house and I see Vienna. And I see the gift of God in Vienna. And then I look and I see Vast Remedy. And I see Stephen and Sarah. And I mean, it goes on and on throughout this house. Paul and Stefano and Natalia, the gifts, the fruit that's in this house. And the only thing I can say is, God, you got to do something, because these gifts have got to be revealed to the earth. They've got to be revealed to the earth. And God, we've tried it in the flesh. God, we've tried to get our agents. We've tried to sign our deals. We've tried to do our things, but how can you see this happen? And the only thing that I keep hearing in my spirit is there's an internal, eternal blueprint. There are things that I've placed on the inside of you. If you'll begin to take those things and put those things in my house and build in my house with those internal and eternal blueprints, if you'll take your part of the puzzle and you'll connect it with the house and begin to see it all as one picture and you begin to build, there will be a springing forth of that I put inside of you. That's what I hear. But it cannot come if I'm trying to do it in the flesh. I cannot labor in the flesh. I have to labor according to the blueprints. So he said, listen, he said, my house is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Come on. Are you with me today? I know right now some of y'all feel like this is scattered, but it will all tie together in a pretty bow. I've just got all the ingredients on the table and I'm cooking and it's messy right now, but it's going to taste good at the end. All right. All right, because I'm just preaching up out of here, all right? I just went ahead and left all that over there. I'm preaching out of here. Okay. Apostles and prophets. Yes. You are built upon apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. Right. You are built. That's what the Bible says. You are built upon apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. So that means my blueprints will not work if I try to build with my own plans in the sand of man. I've got to build these blueprints that He's given me, have to be connected to apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. It has to be submitted under the foundation of the kingdom. That foundation is apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. So my business, so my career, so my music, so everything that I have has to be built on the right foundation of the local church. It is not local church and career. It is the only way I will have a career is if it's up under the local church. That's the blueprints. That's the blueprints. So He put within you a picture. He put within you. Right. I can see it. He put within you. And sometimes when I prophesy over people, I see a portion of that picture that's in your life. I only see in part and prophesy in part. It just is everybody. But I begin to see a part of that picture. I begin to look and I begin to see a part of that picture. And that picture, it will only work if it's connected to the picture of the local church. So this page, if you get plans, anybody ever had plans to build a house or anything? Anybody ever saw blueprints? I was going to bring some today and I walked out of the house without them. Blueprints. You open them up and you see the pretty picture of what will be. You open the next page, you see the electrical. And then you see the plumbing. And you open another page and you see the steel structure. And you see how it's to be bolted together. You see the truss pattern. Come on. There's a lot of details to it. It's not just the picture of, this is the house. Now, if you go to Kentucky, I can show you some houses that were just built by somebody just saying, huh? We're going to build a house today, bless God. Yeah, we are. We'll build a house. We're going to get Bob and Eugene. We're going to build a house today. Y'all come over here. We're building a house. Uh-huh. I can take you to Louisiana. I can show you some shacks that was built by eyeballing it. I can take you to Lower Alabama, the panhandle of Florida. And I can show you some places back in Southport. Mm-hmm. Yeehaw. Where they got some lean-tos that are really leaning, baby. Some of you probably seen them around here, even in Winter Garden. Or Akoi. Akoi. I love the way Brother Mark says that. Akoi. You could probably see it right around here. Go off over just a little bit further into Bubbaville. On the outskirts of the city, and you would find things that were eyeballed, that were built. But most people would deem them unsafe. Have you ever been in a house and you started walking, and you started walking down? Then you walk up. Whoa! You start to walk into the living room, you trip over the floor. You know what that was for? Somebody eyeballed it. Somebody tried to do it in the flesh. You ever been in a house and saw a wall that was bowed out? He eyeballed it. Yeah, that looks good. Yeah. Look good. Put it, nail it right there. Yeah. Didn't even think when he was building it to put a level on it. Isivrasataya. See, when you build, you got to have plans, blueprints. You know, literally, when we begin to investigate building on the land in Claremont, just to turn one shovel was a minimum of $45,000 of engineering and plans just to get to where we could turn one shovel. We had estimates as high as $150,000 just to get on there and turn one shovel. That wasn't one road built, one parking lot. That wasn't one spigot of water. That wasn't nothing, just the plan. And that wasn't even the building plans. When we were going to buy the steel, we thought we were getting a good deal from these people. They were going to let us buy the steel. I asked them, I said, so we get the plans with that, right? Oh, no. Had to hire an architect to make plans for the steel, to be able to put the steel up. But a lot of people don't recognize that. They just get steel, get out in the field, and they go to build. Try to building the dream without the plans. And the plans and the blueprints, they come, they're revealed through the apostolic. They're revealed through the prophetic for your life. They're revealed through the fivefold ministries. All right. We're going to go there. We're going to go there. All right, let's do this. Let's go there. Is that all right? Can we do it? All right, Corinthians chapter 3. That's 1 Corinthians, right? Am I on the right place, Apostle? All right. All right, yeah, here we are. 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? This is 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave what? This is what I heard the other day. God said, you leave the increase to me. He said, that's my part.
Yes.
He said, you leave the increase to me. No, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers or co-workers, right? You are God's field. You are God's what? We're his building. We're his garden. according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Say it's going to become clear. That's a good thing and a bad thing. It's going to become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So the key here is we got to build on the foundation of who? Christ. And we got to recognize that Paul said of himself as an apostle that he labored, he was a co-laborer with God, that he labored with God as a master builder, as a wise master builder. Another version says as an architect. So what happens is God brings a general contractor, he brings in a architect, and they help you with the blueprints that are inside of you. They help you to get what's in you on paper. I can remember when I built a house in Panama City, I sat down with the architect. He asked me what I wanted. I told him what I wanted. I told him I wanted this many rooms, wanted this many bathrooms. I wanted the house to look like this. I wanted this many columns. This is what I wanted from my house. And I can remember he went and drew what I saw. I saw it. I shared it. He drew it out. Helped come up with the plans for the electric, the plumbing, the trusses, all that was involved. Brought them back to me. I said, no. I don't like this. Change this. Fix this. We fixed it. Brought it back, and it was right. A lot of people, they just go to build in what they see, just like those people in Kentucky or wherever else. Come on now. And they go eyeball it. But they don't take time to get with an architect, with an apostle, with a prophet to get counsel. They don't take time to say, this is what I see. Now, will you help judge this for me? Will you help me? And I can remember that architect telling me there were certain things that I wanted to do that I couldn't do. That I was just wanting to do it, but it would not fit. It would not work. So he had to help me to discern what was in me so it could be written out, put on paper, and then it can be built. Sounds like write the vision down, make it plain, so they that read it can run with it. So how can I write the vision down? How can I get what's in here, Apostle, out of here and onto paper so I can run with it? I'm so glad you asked. You got to take what you have and submit it to the local house. You got to get it up under the apostles and prophets of the local house and say, this is what I see for me. This is what I keep hearing in prayer. What do you see? Will you judge this? What of this is selfish ambition and what of this is God? What if this is soul and what is spirit? And a true apostle or prophet, a true leader, they will not try to control that gift, but they'll take the word of God and they'll use it as a sword and they'll cut asunder what's of you and what's of God. They'll discern the truth from the false. And then they'll begin to help you put it down on paper so you can run with it. God wants you to run with the vision for your life. Now, here's the deal. How many in this house has ever had somebody come against you and come against your dream and your vision? Come on. I got all my feet. Anybody ever told you you couldn't? Come on, wave your hand. Now, don't get mad now. This ain't a reason right now to say, oh, go. I don't want to take you in the backflash right now. Listen. Start contorting. We had to cast the devil out, all right? But how many have felt it? Now, I've been laboring in this word right now, and it's all been coming up for a culmination. I've been working and putting a foundation here for weeks, and it's bringing it to this point. You have an internal and eternal blueprint on the inside of you. Look at this. You have an internal and eternal blueprint. The enemy does not want you to see it. He doesn't want you to get it down on paper. He doesn't want you to run. What he wants to do is he wants to spend your time with distractions, running around, fighting devils, coming against sickness, coming against stuff, never laboring with God to build the vision for your life. So he's constant. His job is to distract, to detour, to get you off track, to get you, to knock you and get you to be focused on something else. You know, sometimes it's so good lately. God's been helping me with this. I've learned as of recent, and I'm learning, I'm going to say it that way. I'm learning. Sometimes these attacks don't need my attention. Sometimes all this stuff, I don't need to even mess with it. The best warfare I can give to that stuff is praise God and keep moving. Don't even look at it. Come on, talk. The best thing I can do is just act like, you ain't even there. Is that all you got? And just keep going. Sometimes, but you know what the enemy wants us to do? Oh, no. We got to go fight it. I'm going to get you. Where you at? You're not going in the direction God wanted you to go. You're going after the devil, and he knows that. He was a detour. He's trying to bring you off course when you should be moving forward. Come on, somebody. Spending hours going after devils when you could be moving forward, taking the vision and taking it to the gates. So anybody in here in this house had somebody just come against you, something tell you can't, you won't, you will not be, you'll never see it, you'll never have it. Come on, wave your hand. All right. Well, y'all have got to live through it with me. I mean, y'all are David's dirty dozen. You're the 300. You're Gideon's 300. You know what I'm talking about? You've lived with me through. I mean, it's been for the whole world to see. People just, for whatever reason, I don't understand. I help people, but they don't like me. A lot of people just don't. I can't figure it out. I've literally went to pastors when I was on the road and said, can I help you? And they were offended because I said, can I help you? Like, you want to help me? They were offended. They were thinking I was talking down to them. No, I was coming to serve, coming to help them. But they're in insecurity. They're like, you think you can help me? I had people want to write in magazines about me. I've had people threaten to put things on TV about me. Are you in this house? I've had people lie and say I had a $4.7 million house. My wife said, where's it at? Let's move in, baby. I said, man, you know, the enemies, I love this, they can prophesy your future. There's people in this city that have lied and said all kinds of stuff. You know, the lies are like, well, he sold the building and he bought him a house. You dummy. Just do the math. The money that came from that, I'd already bought my house before the money came from that. And the money that came from that, I couldn't put it into my house because if I did, the IRS is all over me. I have to report what we do as a church. There is more stringent looking upon churches and ministries today than ever in the face of the earth. I mean, with a microscope. There might be some people could cheat on their taxes, but preachers better not even mess with cheating on their taxes. Are you understanding? But they still come against it. I've had people not want me to come preach. I've been asked to go preach places and go there, and because I showed up to go there, other people said they wouldn't come because I was preaching. Just because I'm an apostle. I guess. I don't know. They don't like what's in me sometimes. Now, why are you saying all this, apostle, to make you feel bad? Make us feel bad about it? No, I'm just telling you that people have told me I can't. They've told me I won't. And that I can't come into things. And I can't do things. And they've tried to hold me back. Some of the people tried to hold me back in the city, ended up sitting in our very meetings when we did 555, giving offerings. The people that told me when I moved into this city that we couldn't and that we weren't and we would never be and never do, they sat under our anointing and listened to us preach at 555. Yes. They had to eat their own words. Some of them had to call me back and say, I judged you wrongly. But some of them had never called back. You know what, though? You know, I can't live by what people think. Come on. Yes. I'm going to help you right now. If nothing I've said through this series helps you, this should help you. You cannot live by what's out there. You have to live by what's in here. Yes. Hear me. Come on, listen. Open your ears. I have to live by what's in here. They haven't seen my blueprint. They haven't seen what God put on the inside of me. So they talk against it. They speak against it. They say it won't ever happen. They say you can't ever have it. They say all that Shekinah dome, that's just a pipe dream. That ministry ain't going to ever have 12,000 people. They can't ever do it. You know what? They haven't seen what's on the inside of me. They say, you're getting too old. You're never going to make that career. You're not going to do that thing. You've missed your opportunity. No, they haven't seen the blueprint on the inside of you. Are you hearing me? So I don't look at what's seen. It is subject to change. It is temporal. So they say to you, you can't have a baby after you get a certain age. They haven't seen your blueprint. Ask Sarah about it. Sarah had a blueprint in her that she would give birth to a baby when she was almost 100 years old. Ask Elizabeth about it. Elizabeth, you can't have a child. That didn't stop that baby from leaping when Jesus came forth. Come on, somebody. Gave birth to John, the greatest prophet. How is this? Because they were able to look at the unseen. They were able to look at what was within them and not what was out here. I got to build according to here. The Bible says Abraham looked, he searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. Look for it. He didn't look out here. He looked in here. What has God put in you? Come on, wave your hand at me. Has he put something in you? What has he put in you? What dream? What destiny? What purpose? Shikamasiah. What did he write on your spirit before you came to the earth? What did he put on your retina of your eye? I'd like to submit to you that part of what you see is seeing through what he wrote on your eye, what he wrote on your spirit. For the eyes are the window of the soul. You're seeing through it. What did he put in your spirit? Whatever it is he put in your spirit. When you connect that, those blueprints with the apostolic, with the prophetic, when you submit to his house, when you write it down, you make it plain. You will read it. People will read it. They'll run with it. It will come to pass. The books will come forth. The songs will come forth. The CDs will come forth. The distribution deals will come forth. The businesses will come forth. The movies will come forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The dreams will come forth. Your purpose will come forth. It'll come forth. How will it come forth? It'll come forth when you live according to the internal and eternal blueprints of the kingdom. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just lift your hands up and love on him. Boy, I feel that anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel that anointing. Oh, just lift your hands up. God's, what he's doing right now is he's just pouring his anointing on you so you can see those blueprints. Blueprints. Kingdom blueprints. Eternal and internal blueprints. I come in agreement with you right now in the name of Jesus. That he wrote, that he branded, that he put within your spirit before you came to the earth. That spiritual DNA, that spiritual blueprint, even as he wrote it on your retina, even as he wrote it on your fingerprints, that specific purpose that's on the inside of you, that it begins to be made manifest, that it's revealed in the earth. Are you called to bring wealth for the kingdom? Are you called to make money to impact nations and generations? Are you called to birth businesses that will birth businesses, that will raise up businesses and raise up sons and daughters to send them to nations and impact generations? Are you called to write music, to birth sounds in the earth, to touch the four corners of the world? Are you called to write plays? Are you called to write dramas? Are you called to make movies? Are you called to build buildings naturally? Are you called? What are you called to be? What is inside of you? Are you called to go to nations? Are you called to preach the gospel? Shindalabasataya. Whatever it is, it's on the inside of you. I call it forth. Come forth! Come forth, O gifts of God! Come forth, O blueprints! I call forth the blueprints that are on the inside of you. I declare and decree that from this day forward, you shall begin to see with greater specificity that I have placed on the inside of you, says your God. You shall see it. You shall see it. The internal and eternal blueprints. That I engraved upon your heart. That I wrote in your very DNA. You shall see it. I speak clarity to your eyes. In the spirit. Brande, distum, bronste. You don't just own a business just so you get by and just so you can make a few investments and make a little bit of money and live here and die and go. No, God has called you to amass wealth for the kingdom. It's not just a little business. It's not, no. God has a kingdom purpose for that business. Every Monday, vrinzi vrinsti krandeste. I heard that. Thank you, Lord. Every Monday when you go to work. Every Monday when you go to work, every Monday when you start it, see it through my eyes, says the Lord. See the business that I've given you. See that job. See that place that I've put you in. See it with eternal vision, with an internal blueprint. I've put you there for a purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for raising up the gifts in this house to be salt and light. Salt and light. Salt and light. Thank you, Lord, for raising up sons and daughters in this house who will be builders of the family name. They will extend the family of legacy life in Central Florida and the nations. God, I pray for the sons and daughters here that they would begin to be more reproductive. I pray for a reproductivity. God, a reproduction. God, cause the wombs. Cause the loins of the sons and daughters of this house to begin to be fruitful. Cause us to begin to bear fruit in this city. Cause us to begin to help others find the vision for their life. Find the purpose for which they're here. God, I pray right now that we would walk out of destiny, that we would walk out of the eternal blueprints, that we would walk out of the internal blueprints, and God, we would discover the building up of your house and the building up of your family name. And as we build your house, as we build your kingdom, I thank you, Lord, that that's within us will rise up and bring glory and honor to you. It will rise up and be a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.